welcome Kathleen Cody to the Caregiver Smile Summit. She's the Executive Director of American Bone Health and believes that all people should and can take care of their bones. She's working with thousands of volunteers to create a movement, I love movements, designed to keep adults free from fractures as they age. She works with scientists and researchers to provide easy-to-use and understandable tools and resources for the public to encourage individual engagement and empowerment. She received her BA from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and graduated top of her class at the University of San Francisco Executive MBA program. Good for you.
Yay. Thanks, Airplane. It's great to be here.
Well, thanks for being on the summit. I have just recently taken to heart all of this stuff about stretching that they've been talking about to hopefully prevent me from getting all of these bone fractures we're talking about. So why don't we start with, how does exercise help prevent fractures?
Well, there's a couple of ways that exercise can help prevent fractures. The first one is it can prevent bone loss. And the second way is that it can prevent falls. And if we can prevent falls, we can definitely prevent fractures. So the way we prevent bone loss is, if you think of bones, they're not really a hard thing. They're a living tissue. They're constantly rebuilding and remodeling. And they're pretty stable up till you get to menopause age, which is around 50. And so what happens then is, as you lose estrogen, you start to lose bone density. And women can lose anywhere from 15 to 25% of their bone mass around the 5 years around menopause. It's if they're not paying attention. And then after that rapid period of bone loss, you still continue to lose bone density at about 0.5% a year. So it's really important to keep on exercising and doing activities to help strengthen the bones. Because like muscle, bones respond to a need for activity. So they will respond just like your muscles will respond. And then falls, the second reason that exercise is really important is that exercise, especially exercise that helps strengthen the legs and the lower extremity or the lower body and improve balance, can help you stay on your feet. So if you're walking down the street, you kind of stumble on something, it keeps you from actually falling. You can catch yourself before you fall. If we can keep you on your feet, we can keep you from breaking bones.
There you go. And I have I'm curious about, because we know that more and more men are becoming our family caregivers and could be watching this. Are the statistics kind of the same? I know I have osteopenia and it's kind of stabilized, but it came as a huge surprise to me because I do exercise and do things like that. It's how do men fare in all this?
Yeah, well, men kind of go through their own menopause about, a little after women when they start losing testosterone. But with men, you know, the thing that causes bone loss can be other kinds of medical conditions or medications that they're taking that actually has an impact on bone density. So if you're exercising, if you're taking something like steroids or something for a particular condition, that can affect your bone density as well.
Okay. So obviously exercise is important, but doing it right is important as well. So, you know, how can exercise actually cause fractures?
Well, when you don't use the correct posture and body mechanics, when you exercise, you can actually put your bones at risk for breaking. And the bones that are most susceptible are the ones in your spine. And it's, if you want to think about the spine as kind of a stack of blocks, and they're supporting your entire body, your entire structure is resting on this spinal column. And when you start losing bone density, the bones can't take very much stress. And when we do exercises the wrong way, mostly forward kind of flexion. So if you're rounding forward, especially with a load, that can cause compression fractures in the spine. And most of the time, the compression fractures are in the anterior portion of the spine. So you go from having a stack of blocks to a stack of triangles. Hmm. And that's when you start to see people who have that rounded hump in their back, or the Dowager's hump, some people call it, or the kyphosis. A lot of times that's because of like micro compression fractures that cause those bones to compress in the front side of the bone. So they usually don't hurt, these micro compression fractures, and suddenly you'll start noticing that you're getting shorter, and anything more than an inch and a half of height loss is probably due to compression fractures in the spine. So we really want to protect those spine bones, especially the ones between the shoulders, because they're the smallest ones in the entire back. So you want to make sure you're doing exercise with proper body mechanics and exquisite posture, if you can do that. So forward bending, especially loaded, we know that our heads weigh probably about 14 pounds. So even when you're bending over with just your head, you're adding unnecessary load to those bones. So you really want to make sure that you're hinging at the hip and keeping the back straight.
Wow.
So the spine, yeah, and the other thing that's interesting about the spine is it is meant to, you know, you're supposed to be able to rotate. And the bones in the spine are separated by discs, and they're kind of nice and spongy and really help. That's the joint in your back. And so where you twist is at that joint. And so when you twist, especially when you're exercising, you need to be nice and tall and have a long spine. So you're twisting at the joint. But if you twist kind of like this, you're torquing those bones, and that's a bad thing to put on a bone that's losing bone density and is more fragile.
Wow. Well, I can
just to summarize, two things.
Yeah.
Forward flexion that's loaded and twisting.
Got it.
Are the two things that you want to watch out for. And I know a lot of people like me kind of grew up on yoga and Pilates, and there are lots of poses in both of those practices that would be contraindicated if you had low bone density or at risk for having a fracture. So it's really important for people to be working with instructors that know what to do with people who have low bone density. And if they're asking you to do, you know, rolls or things that you know are not right, you need to protect your own bones and modify those poses.
Interesting to know, because I have lost about an inch, and I also have scoliosis. So, yeah, it's very important. So you alluded to some of these things already, but what kinds of exercises or activities are good for bones?
Oh, you know, bones, they love to be surprised. They're kind of lazy, so they like to get surprises, and they like load. So there was a really interesting study that was done with kids in Europe, and they found that you need, in order to stimulate bone growth, you need to load the bones with four times or more of body weight. So just to get an idea of what that means, if you're just walking, that's one times body weight. If you walk briskly, that's two times body weight. In order to get to the loading part, you really need to be like jogging or playing tennis or something that kind of puts some impact on those bones. So people who are doing things for their activities like swimming or cycling, that's like zero body weight. And if that's all you do, it's really great for your cardiovascular system, but it's not really good for your bones. So if you're doing something like that, you can actually lose bone density if that's all you do. Or if you're walking or brisk walking, which is excellent exercise, you can kind of maintain your bone density. And that's really what we want to focus on. But people who want to build, they really need to look at loading. And that goes for weight training. So the bones would much prefer to have heavier weights and fewer reps. So instead of getting the little weights and doing like 40, 50, you know, repetitions, it's better to get like a big heavy weight and just try to get 8 to 10 reps to get those bones stimulated.
Yeah, excellent. And I'm glad I'm doing that the right way. and interestingly, the last time I did have my levels checked for the osteopenia, I did mention my exercise routine, and we do have an elliptical, and she said, yeah, that's good, but it's not getting you exactly what you said. Wasn't getting the load bearing. And so I started walking while the weather's good, knowing that probably won't be able to do that as it gets progressively worse.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, though, I'm 61, and my wife just took up, as part of her retirement, pickleball, and not as misses tennis, but I've been out there a couple of times. It's a whole different dynamic, but I could tell why it's good for that load bearing.
Yeah, well, and that's the element of surprise that I was mentioning before. Something that, you know, people, if they're doing like one type of exercise, like long distance running, they need to really change it up. And something like pickleball or tennis, because you have to kind of respond to different things, that really challenges your bones, and they kind of get busy building new bone. So yeah, That's a really great exercise, a good example of a surprise.
That's I like the surprise, yeah, your bones. I like that. We should maybe rename the segment. Surprise your bones. So you alluded to this as well, as about, you know, in terms of how you bend to pick up things or movements. What movements should we avoid as we age?
Yeah, well, the same principles that apply to exercise apply to everyday movements. And we have a really great, I think this is one of the ones people can download.
That is the one, yep, they can download that.
This is kind of demonstrates, I don't know if we can see that or not, but basically you don't want to bend with a rounded spine. So you can see this man kind of bending over to pick up that box. And this is the proper way to do it, with bent knees and straight back and hinging at the hips.
Yep.
The box close to him. Because if you can imagine, that box has a bag of dog food in it, and he has low bone density, he's really putting those spine bones at risk of having a fracture. So, and this lady next to him is brushing her teeth, and you can see that the proper way to do it is with the bent knee and the straight back, not the way just rounding over that sink.
Right.
And then finally, here's the example of twisting when we're doing backing up in the car. Rather than hunching over and kind of torquing yourself around looking at what's behind you, it's important to sit up straight and really try to twist, nice and tall kind of angle.
Right.
So there's all kinds of movements that we do every day. And I think it's really especially important for caregivers, because, you know, they find themselves in this position where they're lifting, or they're putting people in a chair, or they're picking people up out of a chair. And if they're not paying attention to their own body mechanics, they're putting their own skeleton at risk. And that can really be dangerous for them as they age as well.
Okay. Good information. Finally, and you've showed us some exercise, what are the top four exercises that you would recommend to prevent falls?
Well, we have another great, I don't think I showed this one to you before, but I think we should provide this as well. These are four exercises I love because you can do them every day. You can incorporate them just in what you're doing. So this first one is kind of a modified squat where you sit down. It's designed, these are all designed to improve leg strength and balance. So this is somebody who's kind of sitting sort of down on a chair and then standing back up again and using the chair as kind of the focal point. But if you're getting ready to sit in the chair for dinner, why not hover over the chair seat for 5 or 10 or 20 seconds and then sit down?
Sure.
And that's going to really start to incorporate these kinds of concepts into your everyday activities. So that's the first one. The second one is improving your ankle mobility and your calf strength. And it's basically standing up on your toes and then down and up on your heels. And if you're standing in the grocery store line, why not up and down on your heels and toes? And you can incorporate that anytime during the day. The third one is helps improve, again, balance and leg strength. And this is just holding your knee and standing on one leg. Basically to help improve the strength in your hip and also improve your hip flexor strength. So that's another great one. And the last one is a hip abductor. And this, again, is going to start improving balance and mobility and your ability to kind of react in any kind of situation. So I think that's these are four fabulous things you can incorporate into your everyday activities.
Awesome.
I love them.
We'll have to get that to our viewers.
I will. I just thought of that today and thought it would be really great to have.
That'd be great. So listen, I wanted to thank you for being on the summit. Any last words of advice for our viewers and listeners?
You know, you're never too old or too young to get started taking care of your bones. They've taken care of us. We really need to pay attention to them, because the worst thing that can happen to a caregiver is they get injured themselves, either breaking a bone or even hurting themselves doing something the wrong way. So it really is good to do it now and really start building up that strength and balance so that it can carry you into a long and healthy life.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad to know there's somebody who's overseeing our bone health and keeping us honest. I certainly have learned a few things that I've been doing wrong and a few things that I'll now start incorporating, and I hope everybody else will as well. So Kathleen Cody, thank you for being part of the Caregiver Smile Summit.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much, Anthony.